Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1502. The topic is mindset, and the title is Developing Self-Control. This topic actually came up quite a few times in the last week, three notable times, with one with a gym member and two with clients. It was interesting because we were talking about kind of our individual developmental paths of self-control and where we might be within that path. So one of the clients was struggling with nutrition, trying to eat what they know they should, even though they're tired and all these things. So we were talking about, you know, having foods pre-made and putting ourselves in better positions to make better choices. And some of the conversations we got into, I thought might just be fun to share through a podcast. One of the things I was telling them about was one of the clients said, "You seem to have very good self-control. I wish I could get there." And I started laughing because I was like, "Oh my gosh, I do not have that great of self-control. I actually do have decent self-control now, but I certainly didn't when I was younger." So I was sharing with them a couple of stories. One story, I was in grad school. It was my first year of grad school, and my computer, I was at my apartment, my computer wasn't working very well, it wasn't working to the speed in which I wanted it to. I was frustrated, so I slammed the lid and then I kind of like slammed my hand down onto the top of the computer. Myself, I thought, you know, I closed the lid, I hit it, and then I'd open it back up and, you know, try to go again. Well, when I opened it back up, dust came up. And I was like, "What?" And I had shattered the screen. So that made me even more mad. I closed the computer and then just threw it out my window. So I was sitting in my living room. The window was right there. Just chucked it out my window. Well, the window was closed. So I ended up smashing the computer. I threw it out the closed window, which shattered the window. And I was like, "You gotta be freaking kidding me." And I actually just started laughing at that point because it went from like worse to worse. And it was just a good lesson on that losing my control was stupid and not very beneficial. It didn't really help me much. I had another time in the gym. I was flustered trying to train a client. And this is back when I was training 50 hours a week in person. I had a client, and then I had two people come up and like ask questions while I was training my clients, and they're not supposed to. It's one of our rules. You don't interrupt while I'm training clients. Then we had somebody that wanted to like see the gym, and somebody had let them in, which they weren't supposed to. Then somebody else needed to get in the bathroom, and they said the door was locked. So I was super flustered. I walked over, and I just punched the handle off the door. And then I opened the door, and I said, "There you go." And that was not the best way to handle that. They were able to get into the bathroom, but now no one was able to close the bathroom. So that was not a good idea. So I have definitely lost my patience from time to time, and I've had to learn how to control that. And for me, a lot of what helped was recognizing that every time I lost control, I lost. In the game of life, you know, who's winning and who's losing, every time I lost control, I lost. I lost either, you know, an opportunity. I lost money. I lost, you know, maybe a degree of reputation or the character that I would want to display to other people and who I hope is my true self. I'm developing into my true self. I lost some of that. And I just started realizing, man, you know, every time you lose your temper, every time you lose your temper, you lose. What helped me as well was dieting. I know that sounds crazy, but dieting and being able to say no to food cravings helped me to also say no in moments when I had urges or feelings to do something. You know, say anger, but I could say no and not do that. I remember one time I was doing a diet. I was really crazy busy with the gym, and part of being overwhelmed, I was just, at the end of the day, I'd train clients till 8 or 9 at night, and then I'd have to do, you know, write up everybody's training programs, nutrition programs, update, you know, answer emails, do counting for the day. So sometimes I wasn't leaving the gym till 11 or 12 or later than that. And I would just be dead tired. I wouldn't want to cook. And so I would just swing by Walmart, I remember. And I would get a pint of ice cream because I was like, well, you know, it's 1,000 calories. I've struggled to eat all day. I need the calories. You know, so I'd rationalize it to myself. But I started realizing that that was me just being lazy. I didn't want to take the time to eat the right foods, prepare the right foods. And it wasn't helping me look the way I wanted to look, feel the way I wanted to feel. And I was like, dude, you got to get control of this. Like, you're eating ice cream. And then he would say, like, I would say to myself, well, I don't want to do that again tomorrow. And then I'd do it again tomorrow. Well, you know, maybe I won't this weekend. And then I'd eat like 3 pints of ice cream over the weekend. And I was like, oh man, this is not good. Not good, not good. So I got to control this. So I told myself that I would say no to ice cream for a year. I would avoid ice cream for a year. And that would teach me to better control it. And I did. I did really well. However, that was not without struggles. So I have occasionally told some people this story, but I used to go into Walmart after work, and I would stand in the ice cream aisle, and I would look at each of the flavors. Yes, I know that's definitely weird behavior, but I would sit there and I'd look. I'm like, okay, you know, that one's like, you know, fish food, P-H-I-S-H, was one of my favorite Ben & Jerry's. It's like chocolate with more chocolate, and I think it's like marshmallow ripple or something in it. But I would sit there and look at it, and I'd kind of think about, you know, the last time I tasted it, what did it taste like? And I would sit there. I'd probably stand in the ice cream aisle for like 10, 12 minutes, you know, and just be a weirdo. But I remember telling myself as I was sitting there imagining the taste of each one, I was like, you know what these ice creams taste like. Meaning, you've experienced this before. Every time you get the ice cream, you know the outcome. You're going to eat the ice cream, and then you're going to feel bad that you got the ice cream. You're going to say, this isn't the life I want to live. I'm not going to eat the ice cream again. And then you would eat the ice cream again. And again, you would feel bad, and you would say, this isn't the life I want to live, and it would just repeat, repeat, repeat. So I remember telling myself, as you know what the ice cream tastes like. You know what the outcome will be. In the moments when I had lost my temper, when I got angry and, like, for example, threw a computer out of a closed window, I now know what the outcome of my anger is. It's a worse experience than where I was. I punished myself and said that I would not get a replacement computer for a year. So for a year, I didn't have a personal computer, and I would just use the computers on campus. And I didn't even have internet at my apartment. So I punished myself for it, but I remember thinking, okay, you know, if you're going to lose your temper again and you're going to lash out or act out, you know what the outcome is. The outcome is something that you don't want. So I started realizing, well, when I don't do what I should do, I don't get what I want. So when I do what I don't want to do, I get what I don't want. So when I don't do what I should do, I don't get what I want. So I started to realize if I can control the now, I can get the then that I want. So if I have an urge now, but I can control that, then the outcome of me controlling that urge is a better life in some way. There was a story that really spoke to me when I was younger, and I'll give you the shortened version. But a guy said that he came to his pastor at his church, and he said, you know, I feel really bad. I've been, you know, talking crap on people around town, and, you know, it's giving me a bad name. I just feel like I'm disconnected from everybody, and I feel real bad. I shouldn't have done that, and I wonder if there's anything I can do to kind of make that better. And the pastor said, well, you know, you own a farm, right? And the guy says, yeah. He said, well, I want you to, you know, take some feathers from your chickens. And I want you to put a feather on the doorstop of everyone that you've ever said anything bad about. And the guy's like, oh, you know, okay, well, that might take some time, but I can do that. So he goes and he puts a feather on the doorstep of everybody's door. He comes back to the pastor and he says, well, what should I do now? I don't really feel any better. The pastor says, well, I want you to go gather those feathers. And the farmer's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I put those out there, though they're just a simple feather, so the wind would have blown them who knows where. There's no way I could get all those feathers back. And the pastor said, exactly. You know, when you say things about people, the words that you use, you don't get those back. There are some things in life you can't undo. A funnier, shorter version is trying to put toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. So let's say you put too much toothpaste on your toothbrush. You can't put it back in, right? Toothpaste doesn't go back in the toothpaste tube. There are just some things in life you can't undo. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, oof. You know, when I was younger, I'd lose my temper on, you know, much more regular basis and had to work to address that. And I remember that there are words that I have said that I can't undo. People may have forgiven me, but I still felt bad for it. And it's like, man, I can't undo those words. I said those words. I'm sure the people got hurt from those words. Maybe they've decided to forgive me, but I almost can't forgive myself. You know, like, I knew that was wrong to say it, and I still said it. Why did I do that? So there are some things in life you can't undo. I threw a computer out a window, and, you know, a year later, I allowed myself to buy a new computer. I could fix that. Punched a doorknob off a door, but I could put a doorknob back on the door. So I could fix that. But hurtful words? There's no new words for that. You know, you can't undo that. How about a wasted life? Can't undo that. So I realized when I wanted to develop self-control that if I can develop discipline, then I can have whatever I want. If I discipline myself enough to do the right actions, I can achieve great things. And that's what helped me develop self-control, was realizing that there was both a cost to losing self-control and there was a benefit to having it. It may cost me what I can't replace if I lose it, but it can lead me to my dream life if I control it. Self-control, discipline, is not restricting. It's rewarding. It's not a punishment. It's a gift. And that was a big thing for me, was having that recognition, but also the practice. This is where I feel what I was able to do in my physical health, the aspect of my life related to physical health, nutrition and training, has benefited me in so many, in pretty much all other areas of my life. If I could discipline myself to not eat food I shouldn't eat, I could discipline myself not to spend money I shouldn't spend. If I could discipline myself to finish the rest of the workout, regardless of how beat up and tired I felt, I could discipline myself to finish, you know, a big paper in college or finish a job that I don't really want to do, but I know I should do. A task, something like that. So practicing. For me, I've been doing this since I was 15 years old, so I've had 23 years of self-discipline practice. And I'm grateful for it. It's been a lot of work. I've done a lot of crazy things, but I'm grateful for them. So, if you are someone who's struggling to develop self-control, one suggestion would be to try to develop control in another area of life. This sounds ridiculous, but the point is to make it simple to understand. Is if I'm trying to develop self-control to not eat food I shouldn't eat, can I develop the self-control to make my bed every morning? can I develop the self-control to do 5 bodyweight squats a day? Can you make your bed every morning? Yes. Can you do 5 bodyweight squats every day? Yes. But will you? Do you? Probably not. It was amazing to me how doing small things led to big things. How doing things in the gym led to doing things outside of the gym. The better you get at small things, the better the skill set you'll have to put towards your bigger things. If you have a self-control issue and you just keep hitting your head against the wall and you're feeling like a failure, feeling like a failure, feeling like a failure, you're not getting anywhere. Try something small. Try something that seems unrelated, because it actually does relate. If you can develop discipline to be consistent with something on a daily basis, you develop the discipline, the ability to say yes when you don't want to say no when you don't want to. You know, you can develop that within that small task, but that strengthens you. If I ever want to get to a 500-pound squat, I have to learn how to squat the barbell first, right? If I want to get to a 6-pack abs, I have to learn how to eat a good breakfast. Small things will lead to big things. Anything that's related to discipline will lead to any other thing related with discipline. And that's been something that's been huge, 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 huge for me. Now, just because that worked for me, you know, dieting to help control anger issues maybe, or just being learning to be more consistent with my true self and the self that I want to develop myself into. You know, dieting worked for me. Training worked for me. But maybe that's not for you. You know, maybe if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely diet and train. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't have heard about the podcast. But if you're struggling with discipline, taking on a small challenge, you know, whether it's with nutrition, training, or anything, just a small challenge. Can you save, you know, $20 a month? Just don't spend $20 a month. Put it in an envelope and don't spend it for a year. Can you discipline yourself to not spend that $20 as it adds to $40? You know, to 60, to 80, to 100, to 120. Can you wait the whole year? Something that small is not small. You actually develop the skill of saying yes when you don't want to, saying no when you don't want to, of developing self-control. So I'd encourage you, if you are struggling with it, pick something small, something that is borderline insulting. You know, if I was like, I want you to do 5 bodyweight squats a day, you'll be like, that's stupid. Like, that's not even meaningful. It's not going to do anything. And I'm like, well, then do it. If it's so dumb, just do it. Because you'll be amazed that you'll do it for a couple days in a row, then all of a sudden you just won't do it. You'll forget one day. You'll go a couple days without it. You go 2 weeks without it. You go 4 months and you're like, oh, crap, I forgot about that squat goal. If it's so easy, just do it. It really is a good challenge to pick something small, like making your bed, saving $20 a month, doing a couple squats a day. Just something small. And be consistent with it. It can grow into bigger things, and it can lead into other things. So I wish you luck. If you are struggling with it, try some of this advice if you think it might work. I think it does, but try it. If you have any questions, reach out. I'm always here. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I hope that you learned something from it. I hope that it strengthens you and it encourages you. If you need any help, let me know. But good luck. Okay. Well, if you like today's podcast or the podcast in general, please share the podcast. You can do so by sharing a link on social media. That's the way to reach the most amount of people. But even if you're just a conversation with somebody and they have a question about nutrition and training, let them know that they can send a question. We'll answer for free. Or you can send me the question. I'll answer it for free. And then you can send it to them. Just, we're here. And we're always happy to help. Thank you to the people who support the podcast financially. The with donations. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs. I give an hour to it every day, and we want to keep it for free. So I do appreciate the donations that go towards that hosting cost. You can donate on our website. We have options for a one-time donation, monthly donation, yearly donation. Even just $5 a month, it does add up, and it does help. So thank you. If you like the information we share on our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, under the name Brutal Iron Jim. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalironjim@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.